B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger Maserati on a Friday. That means it's agenda-free, Maz. We got Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester in the Update Agenda Studio. Maz in the Maz chair. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. The deal is, we open up the phones immediately. We release the hounds, as we like to say. Stu, you may do it. We take your phone calls at 617-779-0985. Anything from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, as we like to say. So you load them up. As they're loading up, we give opening thoughts, and then we go right to you, and we do that all day long. Murray, Maz, who wants to go first?
I'll go. Maz is just sitting up here. So I had two takeaways from last night's game between the Cowboys and the Chicago Bears. One good, one bad. The bad first. The Cowboys, they stink on ice, and that's no good for the Patriots. Because just like last week against Buffalo, they look dominant early on. They go up 7-0. The offense last night, I mean, they basically take up the whole first quarter. And then they proceed to completely implode. Their defense is atrocious. They couldn't tackle anyone. They couldn't make stops on third down. And they made Mitch Trubisky, a bum's bum, look like Lamar Jackson. And that's bad for the Patriots because it was another pathetic display by Dallas, obvious. And to me, it makes that rain-soaked win the Pats had over them a few weeks back look more worthless. It does. Like, that win looks more worthless by the week. And the same for the Philadelphia Eagles, who just got shredded by the Miami Dolphins of all teams. So that's just, to me, it's two more wins against two more bad teams. And that adds to this overinflated 10-2 record. Because against the cream of the crop, you're 0-2. So, I don't know. Their best wins, I had to think about it, I guess Pittsburgh and the Bills. And how was the offense in that Bills game? So, I don't know. I think those wins now look like they come with some asterisk to me. So, maybe that could change after this weekend if they beat Kansas City. But, I don't know. Those wins look not so good.
That's item number one.
Now, here's the good. People are already pissed about whatever loser team in the NFC East, Eagles, Cowboys, even the Redskins still have some hope. They're going to end up winning that division with a record of, at best, 8-8, probably 7-9.
At best,
they're going to be 500. And few things piss off NFL fans like a garbage team with a sub-500 record hosting the playoff game. And I love it. That's the good stuff for yours truly. That's the kind of chaos and sports misery that I live for, because people are already whining and caterwauling over a team like this, hosting a team with double-digit wins, demanding a different playoff structure. It's unfair. You have to change it. It's already started and put it right in my veins. I love when this happens, because it sets up something so potentially delicious. Like the 7-9 Seahawks beating the 11-5 Saints. This happened about 10 years ago. That was the beast mode Marshawn Lynch game.
Yeah.
If it ends up playing out the way it's going to play out, like I think that it's going to.
Oh, I know where you're going.
You're going to see the 7-9 Dallas Cowboys host the 12-4 Niners. And then the Cowboys are actually going to get their crap together for one game. And they're going to wreck Jimmy G's world, exposing him like the small-handed fumbling fraud that he is.
What happened to sex pervert?
And they're going to beat San Francisco. And I've never. I need this more than anything in sports right now. That I thought about it, I was like, oh. Because Dallas, they stink. They're garbage. But they're going to probably win that division. Or the Eagles. And the Niners are going to have to go there. And they could lose that game. Oh, I need it. And it really is setting up to play out that way.
I mean, really, Seattle or San Francisco is going to be on the road. Isn't that unbelievable?
Okay, your thought.
Okay, so to me, I think I focus on the game in Foxborough this weekend, and I'll put this as bluntly as possible. I think the credibility of the 2019 New England Patriots is at stake on Sunday at Foxborough. That's what I think this game is about. More specifically, I think the credibility of the Patriots' defense is at stake in this game. So I go back to the offseason, because I know that when we all looked at this year, we didn't think there were any real contenders in the AFC. The one that we agreed on, across the board, we all said Kansas City's legit. We all thought Kansas City was a legitimate opponent, and I think Bill Belichick knew it. I think Bill built this team and built the defense more specifically, bringing back veteran guys, keeping it all intact for Kansas City. And you know why? Because since Andy Reid has taken over the Chiefs, the Patriots have gotten torched defensively against the Chiefs. They have given up an average of about 35 points a game with Andy Reid as the coach of the Chiefs. Okay, 35 points a game.
Crazy.
Now, last year, they won both. The Patriots did. But only because they outscored Kansas City. They give up 71 points in the two games, including 62 in the second half. 31 in the regular season game and 31 in the AFC championship game. The bottom line is this. They haven't stopped the Chiefs. Alex Smith put up 40-plus against him 2 years ago before Mahomes was the quarterback. So Mahomes is back. It feels like the Chiefs are healthier now. I think Kansas City is still a viable threat in the AFC. Baltimore is everybody's sweetheart at the moment, but the Chiefs still have an explosive offense. Belichick built this defense to stop Kansas City. He built it to stop Kansas City with veteran talent in the secondary. The whole idea was we're going to beat Kansas City by shutting down the passing game.
Okay, there's Maz's opening take. Your number again is 617-779-0985. Mine quickly, there's two of them. One is just to tell you that I'm going to talk Bruins here coming up in a little bit and the way that that game ended last night. And the David Pastrnak problem. I'll do the same thing with the Bruins. I do with the Marcus Smart problem with the Celtics. The Bruins have a David Pastrnak problem, and I will discuss that coming up in the way that another really incredible finish last night at the Garden.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
On a couple of different fronts. So that's going to be a Bruins minute here coming up in a little bit. I'm also, part of my opening take is reminding you that our Christmas in the City auction ends tonight. So this is your last chance in terms of the online auction to really help out our friends at Christmas in the City. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I've explained the charity a million times. Go to christmasinthecity.org to catch up. But it just provides Christmas to city kids and city area kids who are disaffected, who don't ordinarily get a Christmas. And that's just the best way to describe it. But it's so much more than that. And if you've been listening, you know the cause. So we have all these online items that are still up for bid through, is it 6 o'clock tonight? Does it end at 6 p.m. tonight? So you've got through the end of our show to bid on these items. Bruins tickets, Celtics tickets, Dolphins tickets, Patriots Dolphins tickets, which could be the last home game for Tom Brady as a New England Patriot, could be his last regular season game as a New England Patriot. And that's another thing I want to get to today. Tom Brady Sr. has spoken and put his name on the record. I feel like Dad has been talking off the record for a while, but he has some on-the-record comments about Tom Brady's future that I want to get to as well. Long story short, that could be Tom Brady's last regular season game as a New England Patriot, and if things break really bad here down the stretch, his last home game as a New England Patriot. Those tickets are still up for bid. There's a pair of them for that Sunday game in 100 levels. So, okay, so they're not 300-level seats. 100-level seats, current bid there is $800. All right, we have Gordon Hayward signed ball, a Daron Harmon signed football, Revolution 4-pack of tickets, including field passes and a team-signed ball. That bid is $721, interesting number. We have the golf outing with Maz and Hardy. Again, they're gracious enough to donate their time and take a couple of you jamokes golfing at the Atkinson Country Club and Resort in New Hampshire. Current bid for that is $1,300. People want to golf with you two guys.
Oh, yeah. No, we're a barrel of monkeys out there.
So that's a hot item right there. But the hottest item is the in-studio sit-in segments. The in-studio sit-in segments where you get to come in and run a segment or participate in a segment. Be on air for a segment. And you can do with it whatever you want, as long as it's FCC compliant and you don't totally bug the crap out of us. Actually, you're allowed to totally bug the crap out of us. It's that first thing. You can't come in here and pull out your wiener or something like that. That you can't do. But anything short of that, it's up to you. It's your segment. Current bids are starting at just over $3,000.
Amazing, right?
So we're getting great numbers for those. We want to thank people who have already bid. Very generous of you. We can still do more for Christmas in the City. So the top four will get an in-studio live segment next Friday the 13th. Very appropriate date for this to bring in you folks. But so let's bid those up. ChristmasInTheCity.org or 985thesportshub.com to bid up those items. Let's do it. And again, we'll be at the Natick Mall tomorrow at the Newbury Comics 1 to 3 if you want to come by and donate money or unwrap toys for Christmas in the City. There's the opening thoughts. What are yours Here's Nick in Boston with the Patriots thought. Lead us off. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to get your thought on why they don't just have Jake Bailey kick field goals with all the kicker trouble they've had. And I'm going to hang up so I can hear you guys. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
Okay. I keep saying that. I'm a little perplexed by the kicker thing. So they're waiting on Folk. If he's okay from his appendectomy, he's going to go. But if he doesn't, have we even been reported? Is there anything that, has anyone even come into camp?
No, my guess is they'll go back to Forbath.
Or they're just going to keep going for it.
Yeah, or that.
But I'm telling you.
it's going to be Forbath, though.
So I can't imagine they're flying that blind. I mean, we are on the outside, which is fine. We don't need to know. And they don't want us to know for whatever reason. Like, does it really matter if people know who their kicker is? Like, is there any competitive advantage to be had for...
Where
you have Tom, Dick, or Harry in to work out during the week, and you're going to sign Tom, Harry, or Dick? Like, I don't know how you could possibly game plan for the freaking field goal kicker.
No.
So anyway, they're as secret about that as they are about everything else, because that's just what they do. We don't need to know. I can't believe that we're two days away from the game, and they don't really have a kicker. So
there was a report this morning that they've re-signed Folk, right?
Oh, is there?
I don't remember. It might have been Ian Rappaport. Someone had a tweet out there that they have
officially re-signed him.
Well, except it's not official.
Okay,
it's not official, but that they're bringing Folk back. So there was my guess is it's not official because they got to clear the roster spot and they haven't told the guy who's on the way out yet. So remember, they let Forbath go to bring in a defensive lineman. So my guess is just musical chairs going on with the roster at the moment. But I think it's going to be Folk. If for some reason it isn't, then you just make a roster move and bring Forbath back. Like, I don't think there is, you know, I don't think it's going to be Bailey. I just think that there's been no indication that that's the route they're going.
Agreed. Paul in Rhode Island, what do you got for us on the Pats?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Melga, can I call you Melga? No, Felga. Now, listen, good afternoon. Can I just say that this is ridiculous as far as we're going to have to bet on this kid, Harry. This kid is going to be worth, what, $35 million? Is Belichick hiding this kid? I don't know. But
okay, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't know how you come up with $35 million. What are your expectations for N'Keal Harry this week and going forward?
Not very high.
Yeah, little to none.
So, again, I would use him situationally if I were the Patriots. That's what I would do. If they have a complex about keeping him on the field because he's making bad decisions, and even Myers, where, you know, their inability to run the right route is affecting Brady because he's going through a progression, and then when he looks to see where Myers is in the right place, and now he's got to go to another guy, and it screws up the whole play. Okay, if that's what it is, then put them in situationally only when you need them, or don't put them on the field at all.
Off and running on an agenda-free Friday. Your calls right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lenny with he keeps again. One on one. Tackle missed. Touchdown, Trubisky. What a night for number 10.
It's just the read option, Joe. They've been running it throughout this ball game. He's reading DeMarcus Lawrence right here. He's going to get the kickout block by Leno. And once Lawrence drops or comes crashing down, he keeps it. And then it's just the same old story. Poor tackling on the back end.
That was one of the signature plays last night. My thought on last night, Murray, it's not a novel take. This is might be a consensus take. But to me, it is so freaking clear. You have to fire that coach if you're Dallas.
Right. What are you waiting for?
You have to fire him.
It's really unbelievable.
For like 3 straight weeks now, it's been me and my friends going back, and this is every football fan in the country. Well, he's going to fire him after this game, right? Oh, Garrett's going to be out of a job by tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. You watch. No, he keeps surviving.
The team has stopped playing for the coach.
Right. It's blatantly obvious.
It is blatantly obvious. It's as obvious as it was in the Claude Julien era here. The rest of you Bruins bobos. I mean, it's obvious the team is flat. They've stopped playing for the coaches. The coaches can't get the players to respond. It is obvious. That Dallas team is built to win now, right now, right now. This is their window. They're all there. They're all under contract. They're all healthy. It's now. And Jerry Jones is just letting this thing limp and circle the drain without doing anything. Oh, it's very rare that you see a case this clear that the coach has to go just to see if you can get a spark out of the team. It still might not be enough, but it's obvious what's going to happen to the team under this direction the rest of this year. They have to fire the coach now, today.
I mean, I feel about them like I feel about the Cleveland Browns. I really do. I look at the whole thing and say, holy crap. So think about it. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, Miles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, go right down the line. None of them are going to be in the playoffs because they don't have a coach. How do you, as an owner, whether you're Jimmy Haslam or Jerry Jones, how do you have all that talent and turn it over to those two clowns?
Insane. Okay, so we talk about Dallas, we're going to talk about the Patriots. This Herald story is kind of interesting. Why don't we start to get to that with the callers? Let's do it with Kyle in Charlton. Go ahead, Kyle.
All right, I'm going to tell you why, if I was the GM of the Patriots, it would be a bad idea to re-sign Tom Brady. I think everybody's getting the narrative wrong on Tom Brady wanting to re-sign there or not. It's more about Bill Belichick wanting to re-sign him. If you remember, I called yesterday. I named about 13 players, okay, that the Pats had to re-sign. Remember?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right, keep that in mind. You don't have a second pick or a seventh pick. Your safeties, right? You got Patrick Chung and Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty is going to be a free agent. They're both old.
So, Kyle, don't repeat your call. Do you have any advancement on that take?
Yes, I do. Look, your DNs, John Simon, Lawrence Guy, they're getting old.
Kyle, I'm just going to drop you off because you're saying the same thing, that if they sign Brady, they can't sign all these other guys. Okay, so it's the same take.
I don't think that that's it.
To me, that's not why I wouldn't resign him. If Tom Brady were fully invested and this was a functional situation, he's worth keeping over Van Noy and Chung and all the guys they would have to lose.
No question.
Okay? To me, it just doesn't seem like it's working, you know, outside of the fact that they're 10-2 and they might win the Super Bowl. Okay? I know that sounds kind of silly, but Brady doesn't believe in the team. He doesn't believe in the guys around him. He stopped putting in the extra work. He won't work out with them in the offseason. He can't communicate with them deep into the season. It's just, he doesn't seem happy. If I were the team, I'd want my quarterback to believe in and work with the young players all the whole year round. You know, I would want all those things, and it's not happening. And so what? You're going to pay him at the top of the market just to come back and skip the offseason and not work with the kids and not communicate with the guys who are here and be a miserable mope and, like, no. So that's why I wouldn't bring him back.
Yeah, it's not the money. It's not the money. It's not that the money will prevent you from building the rest of your team. We're talking about Bill Belichick here. He'll figure it out. He'll get the most out of the littlest. I mean, he you know, I have faith in Belichick's ability to elevate players to their peak. That's not what it is. You know, look, you know what this is like in some ways? If Brady were under contract and he were at another position, Bill would trade him.
Oh, my God, years ago.
Right? It's like Gronk.
Okay, but he's not.
No. But my point is, under the way it's going right now is diminishing return. Like, that has to change, and most of it's because of Brady's attitude. If that doesn't change, there's no point. Brady shouldn't want to come back.
The point is, I'm okay with Brady even declining a little bit, which I'm not even sure he's done this year. I wouldn't be okay with the investment, meaning I don't feel Brady's particularly invested in the team, and maybe that reflects the fact that the team hasn't been particularly invested in him. So why are we going to continue with a really high money relationship when the investment isn't really there between the two sides? Ray in the car. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to say a couple of things. First, I mean, when you guys started getting on the radio, I was really excited and stuff. And, you know, years ago, Tony Mazz helped me graduate college when I interviewed him about the floor and baseball cap meeting when I was in Northeastern. But I'm a little disappointed in the fact that, like, how you guys, you in the media in general, feel like you're vilifying a guy who's done a lot. And I understand he's been surly and pouty and mopey at times on the field, and people are seeing it more than ever in press conferences. But I also feel as if there's more to it than just his mopiness, you know. So I just don't know why people, like, when they say he'll do an Oprah Winfrey segment or Jim Gray segment, won't do a local media segment. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to give the people locally time of day, because they feel like there's always an agenda or they're trying to push something that really isn't the narrative they want to feel.
So from my perspective, there's just no sacred cows. I mean, it's easy to say, why are you getting on him? He's done so much for us. That's to me, my opinion, no way to do a talk show. How can you not criticize him given all that he's done over 20 years? Well, what did he do yesterday? I'm not allowed to talk about what he did yesterday. So I can't do that. When Brady retires or moves on, I'll have almost nothing but good things to say. Trust me. And that may be coming in a couple months. And I'll you know, trust me that when we talk about him and his career and what he's meant to you and this run, it'll be almost all positive, because it's been almost all positive. But what do you want me to do about a guy that has carried on the way he's carried on? And I don't mean to go overboard, but I just think it's important. Again, I don't want to do a show where, you can't touch him because he's Tom Brady. I would hate to do that kind of show.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't use the word vilify, just my two cents. And, you know, we do a daily show. So that part to me is about what's going on right here, right now. Yesterday, how many times over and over did I say Brady's the guy you would hold up as a model? I mean, I sound like Belichick now. There's no guy I'd rather have as quarterback. Who would you rather have? Nobody. But right now, I think he's part of the problem with that passing game.
So here's Tom Brady Sr. speaking to Karen Garigian of the Herald. Now, I think Tom Brady Sr., you know, because a lot of this content has been already written, Chris Gasper's column last week, for example. So I think Tom Sr., you know, talks off the record. He went on the record here with Karen Garigian of the Herald. And speaking with Brady Sr. on Thursday, the Herald asked if his son could leave New England. And the GOAT's father wasn't sure. Quote, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to envision him playing somewhere else, said Tom Brady Sr. He wants to play. But ultimately, it's Bill's decision. Nobody really knows. Bill doesn't tip his hand. There's just been insinuations here and there. This is really kind of between those two. They've got to decide what they want. If Bill says he doesn't want Tommy, and Tommy wants to play, again, this is the father talking, well, Joe Montana went to Kansas City, .. Just because Bill decides he wants to move on, that won't dictate Tommy's future. I'm sure there are a few other teams in the league that would want him. So I that's pretty strong commentary there. And again, it's making clear this is on Bill. And now this has been a movement. This has been this has been building. Because again, Gasper's column and maybe Kern's commentary this week. And so I think the Brady camp is obviously putting it out there that Robert's out. He's not making this call. It's all on Bill. So what do you think that's about?
I think that...
What are we doing there?
So my guess is that during the offseason, there was talk of a contract and Brady expected Robert to come in and do the deal like they always do. And Robert didn't. And then, you know, maybe there was even a conversation where Robert says, look, this is Bill's call. This is Bill's call now, Tom. Okay, we're at a stage here where, you know, and you heard Brady use the term in the preseason too, uncharted waters, right? So I think the message was probably delivered to Brady way back then. Bill's going to make the call. So they want it out there now that it's on Bill. And again, now this is that everybody's sort of throwing their hands up. Tom's saying Bill's going to decide, because I think if it comes from Tom's father, it's coming from Tom. Robert's saying, don't look at me, Bill's making the call. So the only one that's not denying the responsibility is Belichick.
So, but it's, with all due respect to Brady Sr., it's also on Tom. If Tom accepts a really low market contract and sort of reinvests in the team and the young guys and the whole process,
sure,
you don't think Bill would keep him? I mean, so and maybe the answer is still no. All I'm saying is it's not totally on Bill. I mean,
No, no, of course it's not. But this is what they want you to believe is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mike. Nobody wants to be the one that forced Tom Brady out.
Right.
Brady doesn't want to be the one to say, I left.
Right. Brady wants to blame Bill.
Right. Robert wants to put it on Bill.
Yeah.
The only one who's not shirking the responsibility is Bill.
Oh, right. Or they put it on Brady.
Right. Well, when the time comes.
When the time comes. Hey, he demanded no franchise tag. He's the one that signed in Los Angeles. We wanted to keep him. Because everyone's a freaking coward.
Right. Nobody wants to take the responsibility for that. That when it ends, it feels like everybody's positioning themselves to be able to say, don't look at me, look at him.
Okay, we'll continue with this throughout the day and more of Bruins Minute and the way that game ended last night after Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 95, the Sports Hub.
Rube to the far point, high slot, Pastrnak, watched now by Taves. Right circle, Pastrnak pulled down, and you have a breakaway for Taves. 2-on-0, here's Taves, into the slot, backhand, he scores. He slid it 5-hole on Rask. The Bruins are incensed. They felt there should have been a penalty. The Blackhawks cascade off the bench, and they have beaten the Bruins 4-3 in overtime.
All right, Char's chasing the referees off the ice right now. Referees are staying on the side. A lot of fans throwing stuff down on the ice. Not happy that this penalty wasn't called.
Another really remarkable night at the Garden with the Bruins. Seriously. This time they're down 3-0 in the third. And the last 2 weeks, all they've done is fall behind and come back in the third period with these incredible comebacks. This time they're down 3-0 in the third. They storm back and tie it. And then lose in the first minute in overtime when David Pastrnak takes a little cross check from Jonathan Taves, who then goes down on a breakaway and beats Rask 5-hole. Should that have been a penalty, Miz?
No. No, in fact, I'll give the guys post-game credit too. Billy Jaffe was on, and he said, you don't make that call at that point in time. It wasn't that egregious. Honestly, I was surprised Pastrnak went down on the play. To me, it felt like he went down easy, and then all of a sudden they're going the other way. 3-on-3 in overtime, I don't want them making that call.
Can I take it one step further?
Sure.
What a horrible play by Pastrnak. Seriously. That was borderline embarrassing. You can't do that. You can't go down. I mean, if you care about a regular season point, you know, so I'm not telling you like this is cost them the season, but in a 3-on-3, you can't go down like that.
No way. No way. And again, I watch it. I don't know how many times. I didn't really slow it down.
I don't even think it was close to a penalty.
Me neither. I'm not even sure. Like initially, I thought it looked like a trip, and then I went back and looked at it. I don't even think it was that.
A little cross check, but nothing. It's nothing. You can't go down there. You can't go down there. You flopping, trying to buy a call on that? Or is it just this happens to Pastrnak. He goes down easy. And he did this. He's done this his whole career. But he did it all through the postseason last year, and it killed him. It killed him. I mean, killed them, killed the team. He was a -7. He was garbage in that final. And, you know, for as brilliant as he's been offensively, this is still in his game. And I feel like his hot start is sort of led to some bad habits with him. A lot of dipsy do puck management things with him. He's tough for me to watch sometimes. And I certainly felt that way in the final last year. But overtime, and you're going to go down like that on that play?
I think he dove. Oh. I do. I think he dove. I think it was a dive.
Good God. You got what you deserved. No penalty and a game-losing goal against. You're going to play like that? Either one is, to me, garbage. You're going to flop there? So we're Montreal, which is what we've become, because you're so dependent on your power play that you dive around all over the place out there. Is that the kind of team you want to be? By diving to get a power play in overtime? Okay. Or is it just Pasternak, who I equate to, he looks like a baby calf or horse or cow just coming out of its mom's uterus as a newborn, like all sort of awkward legged.
Gangly,
awkward legged. And he goes down so easily like that, like the baby calf just coming out in childbirth. Like, so he's either just so soft that that sends him down, or he's flopping to buy a call. Either way, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think he flopped. It's not out of the realm possibility that he went down. I don't think he goes down as badly as he did at the beginning of his career. At the beginning of his career, he get bumped and he hit the ice.
It's gotten a little better.
So, but that's what last night felt. I felt like I was watching a young Pasternak on that play. That can't happen in that spot. What are you doing?
Ugh.
They're going to swallow the whistles. You can't play for a penalty in that spot.
So here's the...
You got to fight through that contact.
Here's the Pasternak problem. Teams are starting to muscle him, which, as Fluto wrote in The Athletic, is a good point. It's surprising that it's taken it this long for teams to start treating him like Stamkos or one of these guys and muscling him around. But they finally caught up, that the league's top goal scorer is finally getting extra attention. And as Fluto says, Pasternak, like all skilled players, does not enjoy being roughed up. Too bad. Exactly, Fluto. Good job. It will be his fate for the rest of the season. You know, if he's going to be as good as this is, if this is what he's going to be, this is what he's going to get all season long. And there was a hit in the third period by Zach Smith is his name on the Blackhawks that Jack Edwards lost his mind on. And I didn't ask Jimmy to pull the sound because I don't want to turn this into a Jack Edwards thing. But the way Jack was carrying on, if you want to go watch this hit, just... it's on YouTube. It's embedded in Fluto's piece too, I think.
I thought it was clean.
Zach Smith sort of cranked, and this is Fluto's word, cranked Pasternak into the glass. And that's when John Moore, who just came back from injury, dropped the gloves and fought Zach Smith. Okay? The hit was fine. The hit was fine.
I thought it was a shoulder check.
Zach Smith made sure to get on the front side of him. He hit him below the head and below the neck. There was no head or neck contact. It wasn't the leading point anyway by any measure. And so he might have left his skates a little bit, might have, you know, come off the ice a little bit. But for the most part, if that's a hit that we're going to get outraged about, Jack, that we're going to start picketing the league and, like, you know, let's think about the children. If we're going to get all huffy about that one, then your sport's going to suck. You don't want that hit out of the game. I don't want that hit out of the game. That's a clean hit.
You know why? I'll tell you what. Even Cassidy said we'll see if they take a look at it or not. I was surprised to see that. Like, I look at that and I say, you know why we react that way to that hit now? Because nobody gets hit anymore.
I didn't react to it. But Jack, carrying on, like, come on, man. Just come on. Just try and tell it like it is a little bit. We would want our player to hit the other team's skilled finesse player in the exact same fashion, the exact same way. We would say clean hit. Maybe launched a little bit. Maybe the skates came off the ice a little bit. But if we're taking that Zach Smith hit out of the game, then we have no game. Then we have no game. So stop it with the caring. Oh, my God. Everyone's turning into Tommy Heinsohn. It's just, I have a hard time getting past it. But I'm going to get past it. The hit was fine. The hit was fine. And Pasternak should be ready for it. And he's, you know, unless it's going to turn into what it was last year, where a team's just going to decide to muscle him and he's going to tuck his junk and turtle and take a -7 in the Stanley Cup final. That's the way it's going to be. He's got to be ready for it. Or the Bruins can go old school and make sure that there's a big guy on the ice with them, and then let's go. And then that you've got a personal protector, and, you know, we're going to start fighting. And you start targeting Pasternak, we're going to target you, and you can do that. I'm fine with that. No problem. No problem whatsoever. I have no problem with John Moore standing up for him there, except John Moore just came back from injury and got hurt immediately and had to leave the ice. The problem is you don't have that guy. No one really has that guy anymore.
Nobody does anymore.
League's sort of different. So this is the David Pasternak problem. Brilliant offensive player, having a dominant year, doesn't like to be pushed around, and teams are going to start pushing him around.
Oh, totally. Look, again, I said this here yesterday. This is what I worry about with that line as a whole. I think they're all susceptible to it, him especially, though.
But give me a break with that Zach Smith hit. It was fine. It was more than fine. And please, please, a penalty on that last one? Keep your feet. Keep your feet, keep your skates, don't go down. That was on David Pasternak. There's your Bruins Minute. Your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back of the net, DeBrusque centers. Krug shoots, he scores! The comeback is complete. Torrey Krug darts out in front, took a sweet dish from Jake DeBrusque and popped it in the opposite far corner. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 3.
As it comes around the boards, Torrey Krug's going to pinch down those right wing boards. Jake DeBrusque from behind the net is going to make this pass out in front. So you had Gilbert going after Pasternak, and another Blackhawk going after him in the corner. And it was Nylander, and that's going to leave Torrey Krug wide open and beeline to the net. One push of the puck on the blocker side, up high.
Meanwhile, the way the team turns it on when it needs to in the third period is unbelievable.
I mean, that goal, really, there's something about that play in particular that I think is just, you see it every once in a while, like a defenseman passes down below the red line, goes to the net. It's a great play. That is a great, great goal. It's part of what I don't like about them right now, though. It's like they don't play for two periods. All of a sudden, they decide to turn it on. They tie the game. They come out of it with 2 points almost. You know, last night they lost, but they've been coming out with two most nights. It's just a dangerous way to live. I think that can be, you know, give you a false sense of security if you're not careful.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on everything here on an agenda-free Friday. Nick in Boston on the Cowboys, I think. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Nick.
So I just, first off, want to start by saying that this isn't a scenario in which I think is going to happen by any, but just in a fantasy world, if you guys were the GMs making the decision for the Patriots, what do you think of the idea of signing and trading Brady and Josh McDaniels next year for Dak Prescott? Because they need a coach. They get Brady for a year, maybe 2 years, and we'd get our quarterback for the future. What do you guys think?
So, wouldn't be a trade because in this whole scenario, Brady will be a free agent. He'd sign as a free agent. But there's no way the Patriots are going to trade Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
They'd let him leave as a free agent.
Yeah, because it looks like it's his decision.
Because then they can put it on him.
Correct.
They're not going to be saddled with being responsible for trading Tom Brady.
Isn't it pathetic that that's what it's going to come down to?
I mean,
and from all sides.
It's a big PR game.
It is. It's like nobody wants to take the responsibility for it, which
Tom's going to say, Bill didn't want me.
Right.
And the Crafts are going to say, well, you'd have to go ask Bill, but it looked like Tom wanted to go anyway. And no one's going to own it except for the only one. And I don't know if Bill will either. But Bill would be the only one who wouldn't care to own it. He would own it.
Right.
And you know what? He should. That's why they pay him all the money. He doesn't care. You know, if Bill's so thick-skinned like he portrays and doesn't care and it's just about the football, he shouldn't care. So I hope Bill doesn't play the PR game.
He will to a degree.
Probably will.
Yeah, they all will because none of them want to own that.
That being said, Brady leaves as a free agent to Dallas. Jerry Jones fires Jason Garrett, hires Josh McDaniels. They're in Dallas. Now Dak Prescott is available as a free agent himself. If Dak Prescott were your next quarterback, how would you feel about that?
I'd be okay with
it. Sure.
See, I thought when the caller laid out that scenario, I thought you were going to say there's no way the Patriots are going to pay Dak Prescott.
So this is a good point. You're right. They're not going to give him $30 million a year.
No, I mean, this is the issue in Dallas right now.
It'd have to be a prove-it deal.
Right. And so I don't foresee that scenario unfolding.
It's a good point.
Honestly, like at this stage, they're only a year in. I'd like to see what Stidham can do.
And Jones would do that in a heartbeat, too, just for the buzz alone. And Tom, I have a wonderful business idea for the both of us as well. We could have VD12 for the whores.
We have more on Jones coming up. Apparently, he had to be bleeped out of his radio interview a couple times.
They dumped him.
Today. We'll play that in a minute. Rob in Rhode Island, though, on David Pasternak in overtime. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
So I just want to say the only part of that play that upset me was him being so selfish on that play over the blue line. And you guys made a really good point. If people are going to start targeting Pasta, I think he needs to, you know, take a page out of Crosby's book maybe and do some crazy off-lights workouts. Because if you watch Crosby, even though he's injured right now, he's like an ox in the corner. double team, triple team, though, could get the puck off them. So
yes,
that's
I don't
kind
know
of if, a weak point.
Rob, I don't know if he's ever going to be Crosby. Crosby's also dirty. And he's got Crosby's got the rat to his game. And he's just a little more sturdy. No, the comp I would use for Pastrnak is Patrick Kane, who you saw last night, who you didn't really see last night, frankly. Tabe showed up, but not Kane. But Kane couldn't hurt a fly. He's not sturdy in the corners. He got targeted. Elite offensive player. Won three cups. Could have won a fourth. Went to overtime of Game 7, another West Finals. And, you know, so whatever Kane did and however they dealt with him is how Pastrnak's got to do it. But for Kane to win those cups, he wasn't going down that easily to give up breakaways going the other way in a key moment of a game. So that Pastrnak has to get that out of his game.
I mean, to me, that's the big part. Like, he's never going to be a physical player, and you don't want him to be a physical player. His game is speed and skill, which I get. But you can't just fall down when they hit you.
Yeah, breathe on the guy and he goes down in overtime for a breakaway? No.
Got to be stronger on your skates than that.
Tom in Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I got a question for you just about the Patriots and, you know, the Patriots media cartel, as it's called. You know, normally with these guys, I mean, I know they're, you know, good guys doing their job, but, you know, these guys really don't say much that's strong about the team, whether it's good or bad. I mean, sometimes some of the guys on your show, you know, you can't even get them to admit that the sky is blue. But it seems like in the last few weeks, there's been this kind of strong, you know, unanimous, kind of ominous even take that, you know, this is it. Brady's done. This is the end. It's all over. And, you know, you'd think that in order for these guys to be saying that, they're hearing things from somewhere. And I'm just kind of curious what's being said behind the scenes like never before. It just all seems really ominous all, yeah. You know, all of a sudden. Thanks.
Oh, it's the signals are there. The storm clouds are brewing, and that's not even exactly what I mean. But, you know, there's something being said behind the scenes. I think it's the father, frankly. And he went on the record today with Karen Garishian. Tom Brady Sr. said, quote, "I just know 20 years in the league," talking about Brady, you know, talking about his son, "I just know 20 years in the league, Bill doesn't keep old guys very long. If that's what Bill wants to do, Bill doesn't keep the contract. Who knows? Tommy is an anomaly. He's an anomaly in this equation. Given he's been here 20 years, no one has been here like that. Everybody has a conclusion to their career. That's generally not in their hands." So they're just putting this on Bill.
Totally.
Brady Sr. is just putting this on Bill. He says, you know, in terms of Brady's future, I don't know. It's hard for me to envision him playing somewhere else. He wants to play, but ultimately it's Bill's decision. Nobody really knows. Bill doesn't tip his hand. Just putting it squarely in Belichick's lap.
I mean, I even think those four words in that first comment, he wants to play. Like, now we all believe, Brady has said 45, 45, 45. Sometimes we wonder whether that's just lip service. You know, he's saying it. Does he really mean it? I think he does. I think he wants to play. And you got the father saying it. He wants to play. Well, he wants to play here. I still wonder, though, if you know, he's angled, he feels like they're pushing him out. I'm convinced of that part, and I think that's basically affirmed by what the old man says. He feels like they're pushing him out. Does he have the balls to play for someone else?
90 seconds, no commercials, just an update here from Murray, the very latest on the Patriots kicking situation. Do they have one? When we come back, I'll give you away something for free. I'll update the Christmas in the City auction, and of course, we'll take your calls because it's an agenda-free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.